Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Davis is the senior pastor for 20 years now of Mount Olive Baptist Church. When we moved from our own brushy arbor, Lake Forest, we were a temporary church meeting in a YMCA, and we moved from our brushy arbor here to a permanent spot in Huntersville. I asked the Huntersville mayor, we asked her publicly in one of our last services in the Y, how can we be of tangible service to the community around us in Huntersville? And she said, well, to do that, you need to get to know Byron Davis. And so I did. I'm very grateful for our friendship. So we started getting together over coffee, which led to very quickly, as we moved in here, some construction projects, a home fix-up for senior citizens that we shared with Reverend Davis together as churches. It's grown into more partnership and mission. He participates in and leads one of our men's groups. A lot of them were in the first service. Are any of you in this service in Byron's men's group? There's one on Friday mornings, and their congregation participates with us in Room in the Inn. They bring meals when we host our home-seeking guests. Reverend Davis went as the pastor on our mission trip to India last year that many of you prayed for and even supported, and he's an ongoing partner in that initiative. He and I have ended up co-founding the HELP Network, Helping Empower Local People. It's a local justice network of very diverse congregations that remains active to this day. So we're just so thankful for our partnership with him. Maybe most importantly, back in the fall, if you were here at Lake Forest, we held a 24-hour prayer vigil on our property as part of our Love 10 campaign. God, would you multiply our love for Jesus and our witness to his love to the power of 10 in the next 10 years? And as part of that, we wanted to pray over this land, which was the site of the original sin of America, of slavery, for many generations right here on this property. Reverend Davis came and served us well as we confessed generational sin. We asked for fresh pardon, and he prayed fresh blessing over this land, that a place that had once been a place of perpetual cursing would now be a perpetual blessing. So I invite my friend Byron Davis. Please come forward, friend.
Good morning. I want to thank Mike so much for the privilege of coming today. And as I was telling the earlier service, we are very good friends, and I'm still learning about Mike. I'm one of the very, very few African American pastors that can't sing. But as we were over there worshiping, I saw that Mike could. So he has one up on me. But we are very good friends. I was telling the earlier service that I consider Mike and I so close that if I could lose 100 pounds and if he could get a tan, you couldn't tell us apart. We are very good friends, and we've had a very fruitful and enjoyable relationship, and it is continuing to grow. And also, I've had the privilege of meeting several of you all. I looked down and saw Natalie. Good to see you, my friend. I saw Ken, and in my earlier service, I saw some others that I know. So it's nice to also look out and see some people that you know. Let me just tell you a little bit about my preaching style. I will not quote scriptures verbatim, but I'll say it in such a way that you will be able to relate to it. Also, I may mention some locations that are not in the Bible, but the point is that it could bring it a little closer to home for what I'm trying to share with you. Last thing before we get into the word is, at the 8 o'clock service, I performed my first miracle of the day. I preached for 23 minutes. Mike told me I had 30 to 35, but I looked at the clock and I said, oh, God, got to do it. Bless. And so I, going to try to do a second miracle here in just a few moments. The scripture that I want to share with you comes from the book of St. Luke, chapter 10. The main verse that I want to share is verse 42. And from the King James Version, it says this: "But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary has found that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And my objective this morning, for the next few moments, is to help you leave here with an understanding of that which is most needful. And everybody has different things that they need in their life, but there are some things that we all need. And I want to conclude with sharing two things that I don't care if you're black, red, poor, rich, you need. And so that's what we want to do today. Well, let me start working on my miracle. In the book of St. Luke, Jesus has been traveling, doing seminars, and he was down in the Raleigh area doing some teaching. And there was this big religious event, this big function, this festival for the religious community going on in Charlotte. And so when he finished that, he and his entourage came to the Charlotte area. And Jesus remembered, he said, "You know what? When I get to Charlotte, I have two very good friends in Huntersville. And I think I want to go up and see them because we don't get to see each other that often." And so he told his group that when they got to Charlotte, they would attend the functions, but they would have to take some time out for their close friends because they didn't know when they would see them again. And so they came to Charlotte, came on up to Huntersville, and they went to the house of their very good friend, Martha and Mary. And they were so excited to see them. Now, Jesus didn't travel alone. He had all his disciples with him. So he got about a group of 15 people showing up at your door unexpectedly. No texting, no calling ahead. You're just there. And it was customary in those days to make sure when somebody came to your house, wash their feet because they wore sandals, things a little dirty. Didn't have McDonald's on the corner, so you always fed them. All those were just customs. And so they invited Jesus and his friends in, took them to the living room. Jesus never missed an opportunity to share something good. And as Christians, we should also never miss an opportunity to share something good. Let me just give you a quick example of something good. Just doesn't take much. I was at a store the other day checking out, and the guy said, "How you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm so good, I can't take it." Made his day. And all I was doing was sharing the gospel in a way I thought he could relate to it. And so Jesus never missed the opportunity to share something with people. So he was in the living room and he was talking. And of course, the disciples had heard some of his teachings, but they never knew when he would say something new. So they all were listening intently. Mary was sitting there listening. Martha was there. And then it dawned on Martha, we got to fix some dinner for all these folks. So she eased out of the room and went to the kitchen. Didn't have a refrigerator, keep anything refrigerated, so she had to go out in the backyard and get the food. She goes out, gets the food, starts preparing it. She can hear what's going on in the living room. You know how sometimes you're in the kitchen, but you're listening, trying to keep up. You say, "What you say?" You know they aren't talking to you. And so she's listening, and she notices something because she's sweating by now because they didn't have air conditioning. She's getting a little bit tired. And she knows something is not right. What is it? And then a light comes on. She says, "Where is Mary?" And you know how when you get tired, you kind of get frustrated? She kind of forgets she has company. And she walks in the living room and kind of goes off on Jesus. She said, "Lord, do you see Mary sitting there? What's up with that, God? Do you see her sitting there while I'm in this kitchen sweating? Y'all do want to eat, right?" And Jesus does something that we could learn. He said to Martha, he said, "Calm down. I don't care what you're going through, before you're going to deal with it effectively, the first thing you're going to have to do is just calm down. It'll be okay. It took me a while to learn that the world doesn't stop spinning because of my problems. And so just calm down. Now, here's the problem that Martha had. She's doing all this work, and nobody's helping her. But if I read this thing 100 times, I still can't find it. Nobody asked her to go in that kitchen. Nobody said, Martha, we're starving. Feed us. Yeah, it's customary, but that's fine. But nobody asked her to do it. And sometimes as Christians, we get these grand ideas, and we want to do this, we want to do that, and we take off, but nobody's helping us. And we get frustrated. And we say, well, what's wrong? Nobody does want to help. I thought they loved the Lord. Everybody loves the Lord differently. Everybody worships God differently. There's a reason you come to Lake Forest versus Mount Olive. Probably you didn't know Mount Olive was there. But there are different styles of the way we worship God versus the way you worship. But yet, God is at Mount Olive right now. He's right here. And so when we try to fit people in our boxes, we struggle. Everybody's not the same. She thought she was doing the greatest thing by preparing a meal, and that Mary was doing nothing but sitting down. But think of it this way. After they ate that meal, within a matter of hours, it would have been consumed and they would need more. But what Mary was getting would last her a lifetime. The word was much more needful than the food. But Jesus wasn't complaining about either one. He was just saying, hey, if you want to cook, cook. But if she wants to get the word, let her get the word. We have to let people worship in a way that works for them. When I first came here to Lake Forest, once Mike and I became very good friends, I just wanted to sneak in and see how the worship service was, and man, I stood up like a sore thumb. I walked in here in a three-piece suit. Everybody knew I was here. So I said, I'll fix that today. The key is that you worship the way that works for you. So he said, calm down. Listen, Martha. Mary has found the needful thing. Maybe you don't need to read your Bible right now. Maybe you don't need some quiet time right now. But she does. She's found what's most important to her, and I am not going to take it away. I'm not going to take it away. You have to find out what works for you. I've enjoyed this service today, and I saw a lot of things here that I said, that band, now that's the bomb. I like it, but I can't take it to Mount Olive. But here is the needful thing. And you have to find out what is needful in your life. And once you find that thing, that's what you focus on. And sometimes we know what we need, but we struggle because we are too caught up in how will other people see it? How will other people relate to it? In other words, we're concerned about how other people look at us. And we sometimes can't be ourselves. One of the things that helps me when I'm standing up sharing the word of God, I'm going to be who I am. What I'm doing now, this is the way I preach at Mount Olive. I just am what I am because I found this. The easiest person that I found to be is myself. And so wherever I am, I'm myself. My worship style, hey, I didn't know if you raised your hands or not when I came here, but that's who I am, so I had to raise my hands. That was needful for me. And sometimes we miss out on what we need because we're concerned about other people. Mary was not concerned about Martha. You know, all that fussing, nowhere in the scripture did it say Mary got up. She got what she needed. Now, there are two points that I want to share with you. Two things that are needful for everyone. When God was creating everything, out of all of his creation, only one time did he say this, let us create something like us. Only once. Look how much he created. And only once did he say, let's create something like us. And that's you and I. When he made angels, he made them angels. They are not God. They don't have God in them. They're his creation. When he made wildlife, it's wildlife, but it's not like God. We're the only thing like God. Why did he make us like him? It is because he wanted something in his creation that he could have a relationship. Relationships come about by you having something in common with someone or something. And so God said, out of all these things I've made, I need to be able to have some of it that I can relate directly to, and it can relate directly to me. So let's not just do man like everything else. Because when he made the trees, he said, let there be trees. When he made the animals, he said, let there be animals. But when he got to you and I, let's handcraft. Let's make this homemade. Got down, took some dirt, and started structuring. Everything else he just said, let it be, and it was. That's how special we are. And not only that, now, when he started walking the earth, I saw nowhere where he spent quality time walking with angels or quality time walking with animals. Only man, the Bible says, in the cool of the evening, he walked with Adam and Eve. Simply saying this, God doesn't just want us to come to church. It's not about that. As a matter of fact, your coming here is to just get some more information so you can be better out there. God wants a relationship. And here's why some of us struggle with a relationship. That's God. And we see him so high and so mighty, which he is. But we see him so high that we can't reach him. We don't know how to talk to him. Sometimes in the African American church, we thought, well, if you're not dressed up, you can't worship God. And so I told my church, well, do you wear a suit 7 days a week? So if you got to have on a suit to worship God, that means you only worship him on Sundays. A relationship means this. I can tell you anything and you won't judge me. A relationship means you know everything about me and you still love me in spite of myself. A relationship means you care so much about me that you will sacrifice your life for me, knowing that even after you do it, I'm going to mess up again, and you still want to hang out with me. Wow, that's somebody you want to have a relationship with. And so the most important thing you will ever do on this planet is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You ever heard people say, I'm trying to find myself? Let me help you find yourself. If you purchase something and it's not working right, you go and read the instructions, because the instructions will tell you all of the ins and outs of that thing that's not working right. I told the earlier service, if you owned a Rolls Royce and it broke, would you take it to a Ford dealer? We always take things back to the manufacturer. Well, the Bible says you and I were created in the image of God. So if anything that's going on in our lives that we need answers for, only God can tell us, because only God built us. Only God knows us. The Bible says, let me tell you how much the Bible says he knows us. The Bible says, I know your thoughts afar off. Let me break that down. Before it got to your mind, I saw it coming. That's pretty deep. And so I need a relationship with someone who knows everything about me. Not only that, I am smart enough to know that one day I won't be preaching. One day I won't be living here.
I don't know what the other side is like. I need somebody to cover me there. I need to somebody that's waiting and got things set up for me when I get there, since I don't know my way around. And that's Jesus. And so you need a relationship with Christ if you don't have one with anyone else. And again, a lot of times people don't have that relationship because they don't understand. You ever met somebody and you thought something negative about them, and then once you got to meet them, you found out they weren't anything you thought they were? That's why a lot of people won't come to Christ, because they think, I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't get this wrong. I got to be right all the time. If you had to get everything right and be halfway good, don't mess up, I wouldn't be standing here. Sometimes when I preach and I sit down, I say to myself, God, I don't understand. I know who I am and you used me. I don't understand why you would use me. The people think I'm all that, but I know the real me. And you still use me. And so I would never trade my relationship with God above all others. Second relationship that is needful. The Bible says that when God was creating everything and he looked at Adam, he said, you know what? It's probably not good for him to be alone. He needs a helpmate. He needs, even though he and I have a relationship, I'm still God. He can relate to me, but he's not God. He needs somebody he can relate to. Everybody needs somebody that can you can relate to. So he says, let me make Eve. Here's the point. You need family. Everybody needs family. Family is one of the, apart from God, is the next most important thing you ever have. Now, I hear what you're saying. My family doesn't live here. My family has passed on. It's just me. You still need family. I had a member in my church some years ago who joined. It was just her and her mom died, and she had no family. And so she loved the church, but she just didn't feel like she belonged quite like others, because we were a big family church. So she came to me one day and said, Pastor Davis, I don't have any family. From now on, you're my brother. She got a brother. She went to two other members and said, so-and-so, you're my grandmama. So-and-so, you're my granddad. She made her a family. You need to always have somebody. If you got to go make a family, go make a family. When Pastor Mike talked about the Bible study group that meets on Friday. When we meet, I'm the only one in that group with a tan. But I feel like one of them. I feel like family. So family doesn't have to look like you. Family just has to be someone that you can relate to, that will be there for you, that will love you unconditionally. Let me say a couple more things about family and I'll be through. I said earlier today in my first service that George Shen, when he brought the Hornets to Charlotte, now that was something big, and George Shen was a popular man. He was a businessman before the Hornets, but after the Hornets, he was like a little local celebrity. And he felt real proud of that, as he should. But I think he kind of lost some of that excitement about the Hornets when his son got addicted to drugs. I'm sure that some of that excitement about being known all over Charlotte in the NBA kind of faded away when his wife said, I'm out of here. See, it doesn't matter how much you accomplish in life. If your family is not there to be a part of it, it's just empty. I read last week that Billy Ray Cyrus said he give back everything. That means the millions, the celebrity. I give back everything if I could have my family back. What good is a mansion and nobody enjoy it with? What's a car you don't have nobody ride in it with you? Things are only good when you have somebody to share it with. And so you need God and you need family, because those two will always be there. Let me tell you what God said about whether he'll hang with you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you don't have to be anywhere near perfect. Let me tell you about this guy that God befriended. It was this guy who was a professional thief. That's what he did. In case you didn't know, some people steal for a living. This guy was a professional thief. He got caught. He got sentenced to death. And he's hanging on the cross making fun of Jesus. And he said, you know what? I ain't got nothing to lose. Let me just take a shot at this. He said, Lord, they said that you all this, that you're God and all that, and you got this kingdom. I don't know nothing about it. I've never gone to church. I've lived a life of crime. But if it's true, would you be my friend? I heard somebody say, you're going to rise again. I don't understand it. But if it's true, would you? Could I hang with you? And the Bible says he stopped dying just to tell the man, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't tell the guy, well, you got to stop this. You got to. No, today, you can be with me. And that's what I love about the God I serve. He just takes you like you are. He said it like this in the King James Version. All ye that are weak and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. It is so nice to know, because everybody got their own issues. I promise you, I don't care how big that smile is. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. Everybody got some issues. And it is so nice to know that when I have them, I have someone that I can tell. He won't share it with anybody. The only thing he'll do is console and say, Byron, I got your back. I got you. Don't worry. Even though you're going to have to go through this process, I'm not going to just pull you out of it, but I'll be with you. It's not going through it. It's somebody going through it with you. My grandson is scared of the dark, but he'll go through the dark as long as he's in my arms. And that's how life is. You got to go through some dark places, not the issue. The thing is, somebody going through it with you. And with that being said, I want to introduce you to the person who will go through it with you. I'm going to bow and I'm going to pray, and I want you to repeat these words. If you are a Christian, I want you to repeat these words. If you're not a Christian, I definitely want you to repeat these words. And what I am going to be saying to you is an opportunity for you to ask Christ to be your friend, to have that relationship. And then he'll help that relationship with the family. He'll help that relationship with the other parts of your life. Let us all bow. If you would repeat these words. Father God, you know me inside and out because I was made in your image. Because of that today, I have chosen of my own free will to have a relationship with you. I ask you, come into my life. I ask you to take control. Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen.